Thank you very much. My name is Ed Woods, Consulting IT Specialist with IBM Corporation. First of all, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend today's webcast. I trust you'll find this to be an interesting topic. I had a lot of fun putting this particular presentation together. A lot of this is tips and techniques and things that I like to teach people when I do a Megamon training and show users. I think there's some very interesting capabilities that are contained within the Megamon suite, and I think you'll find this to be an interesting topic. So what we're going to be talking about here is Megamon XE for DB2 PMPE, Power User Tips and Techniques. So going to the agenda slide, here's basically what we're going to talk about. Megamon in general, what is the capabilities, choice of capabilities and technologies that you get when you have Megamon XE for DB2 PMPE? What are some of the basic capabilities of Megamon DB2 PMPE? And then we'll talk about the power user techniques, and we'll focus on two aspects of this. We'll look at power user type techniques that you have available in the 3270 interface, focusing specifically on classic interface. And then we'll talk about power user techniques available when we're talking about the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, the Megamon XE GUI interface, if you will. Going to the slide, what is a power user? A lot of people use the term power user, so I was pondering what the definition is when we say power user. What exactly do we mean? Well, at first I went to the web, and I came up with a definition that basically said that a power user is a sophisticated user of personal computers in this example here. A power user is typically someone who has considerable experience with computers and utilizes those advanced features. My definition is pretty similar, but basically how I view a power user is someone who is an advanced or experienced user of the technology but likes to take that technology and customize and craft it a little bit more to their specific needs and requirements to fulfill their needs. So this is what we're going to look at today, is really how you can take the capabilities as delivered with the Megamon XE for DB2 and customize, tweak, craft, and exploit some of those base capabilities to get some more bang for the buck, if you will, out of the tool. So going to the slide that says Megamon XE DB2 PMPE options and interfaces. When you get and install Megamon XE for DB2, you get the base monitoring and management infrastructure, the Megamon address spaces, the monitoring infrastructure, the integration capabilities in terms of things like Tivoli Enterprise Management servers, portal servers, etc. What this means as well then is that you get a choice of interfaces. You get the Tivoli Enterprise Portal GUI interface, what we'll also refer to as the Megamon XE GUI, and that provides both real-time as well as historical monitoring and management capabilities. Also provides integrated automation and alerting capabilities built around these mechanisms called situations and policies. And we'll talk about situations some a little bit later in this presentation. The other interface that we'll be discussing today is Megamon Classic. Megamon Classic was the original Megamon 3270 interface when the tool was originally developed several years ago. And this is the command-driven interface, again, both real-time as well as historical command capabilities to provide you with a very detailed deep-dive analysis into what's happening inside the DB2 subsystem. But not stopping there, when you install Megamon XE for DB2 PMPE, you also get the CUA interface. This as well is a 3270 interface capability, more of a point-and-shoot type of an interface, uses colors, ease-of-use navigation aspects, as well as real-time as well as historical. Also gives you the ability to do warning and critical exceptions and alertings and things like that. And last but not least is the PE GUI. The PE GUI is a Java client-type application that you would install on your desktop, and then it would turn then connect into the Megamon monitoring infrastructure and provide real-time as well as historical monitoring capabilities, etc., for the DB2 environment. So when you work with Megamon DB2, you get a choice of using one or two or three or four possible different user interfaces. Which pieces of the tool you use is purely up to you and whatever your requirements are. Now, for just the sake of time today, we'll focus on the first two that I mentioned, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and the Megamon Classic, and we'll look at examples from those two in terms of some of the more power user kind of capabilities that we're talking about here. So going to the next slide that says Megamon XE for DB2 PMPE V3.10, major features and components. Well, you have your real-time thread analysis, looking at your thread performance, elapsed times, NDB2 times, get page counts, CPU information, IO information, thread detail, lock detail, SQL call counts, SQL call detail, looking at SQL text, looking at stored procedures, triggers, functions, what's running in those terms on the systems. In addition, from a real-time perspective, you can look at the DB2 subsystem itself. So here we're talking about the various pools, the virtual pool, the EDM pool, looking at pool performance statistics, as well as pool performance snapshot type information, diving into the internals of what's happening inside these various pools, locking and logging type information, looking at things from a subsystem perspective. So this is real time, as well as the threads. In addition, you can get this same type of information historically. So you see on the right-hand side of the slide, we have what we call near-term historical versus historical analysis. So with the Megamon, you have the ability to look at things in what we call a near-term historical. In other words, what's happened over the last few hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, say maybe even the last 24 hours, depending upon, again, what your requirements are. Near-term history is an option that's available that you can have easily accessible online within the Omegamon interface. In addition, there's a variety of other historical analytic capabilities, batch reporting capabilities, the Omegamon XE historical capabilities that integrate with the Tivoli Data Warehouse, the Performance Warehouse, as well as PE GUI snapshot history capabilities, etc. So you have the ability to have historical data gathering from a variety of sources. Other analytic capabilities: object analysis for IO and get page analysis, correlating that IO activity back to the object or back to the thread in question, application tracing capabilities, detailed performance tracing of applications, lock conflict analysis, DB2 data sharing monitoring and analysis, looking at things from the perspective of the data sharing group, looking at the coupling facility structures, group buffer pools, etc., and then also all the various integrated alerting and automation capabilities. So when we're talking about monitoring and managing our DB2 environment, Omegamon XE for DB2 PMPE is a very broad, powerful, capable monitoring solution for DB2. So going to the next slide, Omegamon XE for DB2, Tivoli Enterprise Portal versus 3270. What are the strengths? Why would I use one interface versus the other? I have a choice of four interfaces. Today we're focusing primarily on two. Now, why would I use one versus the other? Where is it most appropriate to use? The Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP, as we call it, the GUI interface provides certain capabilities that are very unique and powerful. The first thing is that the TEP, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, provides a very nicely customizable, high-level overview so that you can see at a glance what's happening across all your various DB2 activities, look at all your threads, look at all your subsystems, get that high-level analytic view. With the high-level analytic view, you then have the ability to understand what's happening across all your workloads and then be able to specify alerts, do problem isolation more rapidly, and then do drill down for more detailed analysis. The TEP also works well when we're talking about data sharing environments where we have multiple DB2s, multiple subsystems, and again, to have that high-level overview with the ability to do a deep dive analysis, look at things like the coupling facility structures, global lock analysis. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal is also the most flexible when we're talking about things like setting alerts, integration with automation, etc. There's a variety of ways wherein you can integrate Omegamon and Omegamon alerting and data gathering capabilities with automation. We'll discuss a couple of these options here today, both coming from a 3270 perspective as well as from the Tivoli portal. One of the nice things about the Tivoli Enterprise portal is using the GUI interface, the situation editor, you have the ability to very quickly and easily specify alerts and then also have corrective automated actions. Now, comparing and contrasting the portal with the 3270, either the classic or the CUA, the 3270 interface provides more of what I would call the deep dive analysis capability. So the premise is basically I might use the portal to get an understanding overall of what's happening across all my workloads and subsystems. And then once I know where to look, what thread or threads to look at, I would then use the 3270 to do the deep dive detail analytic analysis to look at the thread details, to look at the details of the timings, to more importantly look at things like the SQL activity, how many SQLs, what's the current SQL being executed, look at the text of that SQL currently being executed, looking at the lock detail, what locks are being held currently by the thread, what are the lock counts, are there any potential lock conflicts that are occurring with this thread. So deep dive analysis from a thread perspective, but also deep dive analysis from a subsystem perspective. So in this scenario, what we're saying is that we would look at things like our virtual pools and EDM pools using the 3270 to do the drill down analysis, to do the snapshot internal analysis, to see what's happening inside these various structures and understanding how these structures are being used. 3270 is also where you would go to do things like application trace detail analysis, etc. So when you think about it, then basically the portal is our high-level analytic problem isolation interface. 3270 is our deep dive analysis. And both of these work very well hand in hand. So going to our next slide, GUI interface versus 3270, when to use. So the Tivoli portal, that's our correlation, our high-level analysis, problem identification, notification, isolation. When we're talking about alert generation and the ability to, more importantly, do correlated alert generation, that's really the key when we're talking the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal gives us the ability to do alerts in the most flexible manner because literally any item of information that's gathered by the portal may be used within an alert, but also provides the most flexibility in terms of being able to quickly and easily correlate these alerts. And I'll show an example of this later on in the presentation. 3270 classic interface works best for the deep dive analysis, the detailed analysis, where I want to get into the thread details, the pool details, EDM pool snapshot details, virtual pool snapshot details, detail application trace. This is where you want to get into more of the internals of what's happening inside DB2. 3270 interface still works best in this paradigm. 3270 classic interface is the command-driven interface, whereas the portal is built around a browser type of a construct. 3270 has its own automation type of capabilities that you can use in several fashions. And I'll show some examples of these in just a few slides. You can exploit the command-driven nature of classic 3270 interface to do things like screen logging capabilities, automated screen facilities, timer-based screen facilities. The idea is to do things like be able to drive a screen based on a certain time of day or a particular event that may have been detected by an exception. Also, being able to do things like have a classic OmegaMon alert drive some type of an automation routine in SA system automation. All of this is quite easily done using classic interface. So going to the next slide, classic 3270 interface main menu. The classic interface is built upon a series of commands and menus and menu structure. So if you've worked with TSO ISPF, it's not that dissimilar from a typical TSO type of application in a way, even though we're actually logging on typically to classic interface through a VTM connection. What you would do is you would enter the various letter commands or do an S next to those letters to go from screen to screen. All the menus are clearly delineated in terms of where you need to go. So you have T for thread activity, R for resource managers, A for application trace, and the navigation and flow is simple and straightforward. You have F1 for help keys, etc. Going to the next slide, classic interface major and minor commands. This shows the typical layout of a classic interface screen. Classic interface is typically built upon this type of a paradigm. The top line is basically the information line where you would see over on the left underscore areas where you would enter commands, such as screen names or just letter commands to navigate. The panel name is highlighted. In this case, it's ZIIO. So each panel or screen space, as it's called, has a unique name. Continuing on to the right, looking at the top line, we see the version of the tool, V310. Continuing on then, we see what subsystem we're monitoring. D81G is the subsystem, and then date and time as well from there. Underneath this top line, you have various letter commands to go from screen to screen to screen. So in this particular case, we're looking at a plan, command, which is what we call the plan major, which I have highlighted here. The plan, you notice the plan major command is in uppercase. That's how you know right away if it's a major command, if it's all in uppercase. Underneath, about four or five lines, we see a minor command, IIO. The IIO command basically is an IO command, says show me the IO relative to the plan major of this particular plan that we're looking at. So by looking at this particular command structure, plan, major command, major commands are always in uppercase, minor commands are always going to be in lowercase. So even if you don't necessarily know the commands, if you understand the pattern of how they'll appear on the screen, you usually will be able to pick out the commands as you look at the various panels. Now, up in the top portion of the screen, we see option A for thread detail, option B for lock counts, option C for lock weights. Basically what happens then, as you enter those various letter commands, is you would go to different panels or screen spaces again, as they're called, and those screen spaces would execute various combinations of these major and minor commands that we've outlined here. And so that's how the various panels are structured. Going to the next slide, so some of the examples of classic interface that we'll look at in this particular presentation include such things as the classic threat analysis scenarios, such as some of what we've described earlier, looking at the various major and minor commands. We'll look at a couple examples, the THDA and the plan major commands, and we'll look at a variety of the commands that go with those. And the premise is then, if you know the major and the minor commands, you can take those commands and use them in different combinations, thereby making your own customized screens or views. And when you build a customized screen, we call those screen spaces. And I'll show you how you can build and save and use those screen spaces quite easily. Classic interface also includes the ability to, if you build one of these custom screens, or just looking at a particular screen of information, the ability to log those screens and send that information to SysOut, for example, for later analysis. So to turn on and off the log is an easy process. I'll show you how that's done as well, and that can be quite handy. Classic interface also includes the ability to drive screens based on time of day and to execute screens based upon exceptions. So the time screen facility, or TSF, provides you with the ability to do things like, say, given a certain time of day, I want to be able to execute a certain screen space. The ASF, or automated screen facility, basically means given a certain exception that's been detected by the Omegamon Classic, go ahead and execute a screen space. In addition to this, you can then in turn execute the screen based off a certain time of day and then also log that screen. This can come in quite handy for scenarios wherein, for example, I want to be able to look at something that happens, say, off hours or in the early hours of the morning, but I don't want to have to be logged onto the tool, but I just want to be able to capture some screens of information and then look at it later on. So going to the next slide that says Threat Overview Example, More Efficient Filtering. What we're looking at here is one of the thread overview displays that you get in classic interface executes a command called THDA, the THDA major. Now, off of the THDA major, you can then see all the threads that are executing. The THDA major lists them by plan. There's an analogous command to do it by packages. And then you can see as well there's various letter commands to do things like just show me batch threads, just show me stored procedures, whatever. Well, one thing that you can do as well is there's also an option J for filter. And you would literally enter J on the top line, and then it would go to a filter panel. Then you would enter whatever your filter options are, and then that would filter the display. So that would say, for example, if I have like 100 or 200 threads or however many running through the system, it would filter it down to just the threads that I'm interested in looking at. Now, this is one of the product-provided screen spaces. If you look at the top line, you'll see that the name of the panel is ZALT, and any panel that starts with Z in the name is one of the product-provided screens. And by the way, if it starts with Z, you won't be allowed to alter it. But you can create your own screens and then save them under your own user-defined names, which I'll demonstrate in a minute. So going to the next slide, here what we've done is we're going to just add the filter command into the same panel as the thread overview. So the idea then is quite simply is I can do the filtering just from a single panel without having to navigate back and forth, forth and back, back and forth. The idea then is I have my THDA major, which we see on this example about the fifth or sixth line down, which lists all our threads. And then continuing on down about seven or eight more lines, we see the THFL major command, and that is the thread filter command. And then underneath that, we see all the various thread filter options that you can specify. So you can say, show me certain plans, packages, get pages greater than a certain amount, commits greater than a certain amount, elapsed time greater than a certain amount. The idea then is you just build a screen that has both of these commands on it, and then you can save that particular screen space and then execute this on a regular basis. To see how you actually save it, let's go to the next slide, which says save the customized screen space. And so literally what you do is once you specify and set up your commands, on the top line you can say slash save space and then the member name, the screen space name. In this case, I just got very creative and I called it Ed Demo. But you can call whatever you want. Ultimately, it's going to become a member in a partitioned data set library somewhere in a Megamon. So it has to conform to the naming conventions for a typical PDS library. You notice that now once I've saved this panel, you see that to the right of the save command as well, the panel now is EdDemo. So literally, I've saved the panel. It's EdDemo. To actually retrieve and execute this panel later on, I would just on that top line enter EdDemo, and then it would execute it. Now, interesting ways in which this then can be used is, in addition to the navigation scenario I just discussed, wherein basically I can have the filter command on the same panel, if you will, as the thread overview. Another way you can do it is, let's say, for example, you have various filter views that you like to have. So I might have a view or a panel, a screen space, if you will, wherein I have all of a certain type of distributed threads. Or I might want to have a different panel where I say, only show me threads that exceed a certain number of get pages. Whatever the different criteria are, I can set up these panels and have them predefined, because in addition to saving the commands, it will also retain the filter options that you see specified in there. So like in this example, I set get pages to 1,000. So in other words, I'm saying only show me threads where get pages are over 1,000. So that criteria will then be stored as well. So this is a nice little technique wherein I can build then already ready to go pre-filtered displays. All I have to do is just type the name of the panel at the top and it goes ahead and brings it up for me automatically. So slash save will save the custom screen space the first time. If I want to make a change to that screen space, say I want to change the filter options or whatever, then I would do a slash rep or replace to replace the existing screen. Again, to invoke the screen, you just enter the screen name on the command line. This way then, you have very nice flexibility, very simple to do, and gives you some nice capability. It's an easy way to make your own customized screens and preset filter options and things like that, and then just recall and retain those as you need them. Going to the next slide, making custom screen spaces. In this example, this is where we show basically the plan major again. So again, plan major is in uppercase. And then underneath that, we show all the various minor commands that come with the plan major. So act, buff, call, IIO, own for locks, owned, SQLS, all these various minor commands basically are saying, here's the various details that I want about the particular plan in question. A nice way, if you don't know what the various minor commands are for a given major, if there are any relevant minor commands, what you can do is underneath the major, you can type a command called .exm, which I show in this example here. So basically what happened then was in this particular panel, I had the plan major, and then underneath that I typed .exm, and then that automatically kicked out all the various minor commands. So what I can do then is I can pick the minors that I want to keep and then save that in a custom panel using this kind of technique. So this is a very simple way to figure out what the relevant minors are for a given major command, is using the .exm command to kick out those various minors. So that's a good example of how you can make custom screens, save them. If you want to update them, it's slash rep first time you created a slash save. Now let's go to the next scenario, which is the screen logging scenario. As I mentioned before, one of the nice handy little things about classic interface is that sometimes you're walking through a series of screens and you're looking at a thread or you're looking at some other thing inside the subsystem and you would like to be able to just capture a few of these screens for later analysis. Or maybe what you want to do is log a screen and then come back a few minutes later and log it again and then compare the differences, just as a simple way to do an eyeball analysis and look at activity on the system over a period of time. Well, there's a nice little logging and screen capture facility that's included within the classic interface. To turn it on, to enable it, you just on the top line do slash log space on, and then you'll see on the top line between where it says VTM and O2, it'll say log. So basically you'll see log appear on the top line. That tells you that the log is turned on. So it's slash log space on to turn the log on, and then log will appear on the top line. To turn the log off, it'll be slash log space off, and then that log thing on the top line will disappear. The log output goes to a sysout allocated to the Omegamon Classic Collector address space. So basically it's just stored there, spooled by Omegamon. Then you can go and browse it from there. Sometimes what people will do is they might actually go in through SDSF and look at that sysout and then maybe use a print command that comes with SDSF to then go ahead and store it in a file for later analysis. The nice aspect of the log facility is it's a good, quick way to snapshot some screens or to snapshot some information or to snapshot a similar screen over a period of time and then give you the ability to see what was happening over a period of time. It's a nice, easy thing to do. I mean, we're not talking DB2 tracing in this case or things like that. We're really literally just talking just snapshotting the physical screen. As an adjunct to this, let's go to the next slide now. Here we're talking about executing a screen space based upon a timer. This is the .tsf command, the time screen facility as it's called. This is one of the nice little gems that's hidden within the Omegamon Classic interface. And basically what it gives you the ability to do is execute a screen based on time of day. So let's say, for example, I wanted to look at buffer activity, or let's say, for example, I wanted to look at thread overview activity for a given time of day. So I have a panel. It might be one of the product-provided screen spaces, or it might be a screen space that I've customized. I want to gather that information and look at it, say, for example, at midnight, 2 in the morning, something like that, but I don't want to have to come in or log in or get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do that analysis. So the time screen facility gives you the ability then to actually just set a timer. So we see the command .tsf01 is the command that you would literally type into the panel. So that allows us to set timer slot 1, if you will, and then we specify the time, in this case 1100, SS equals the screen space. That's the screen that would be executed. The next command down that we see, .tsf00, that lists all the timers that have been set. And as you see, there can be multiple timers that you might have set and available. The premise then is this is just a way to basically then execute screens based on time of day criteria. And it's a very handy little facility that you can use in conjunction with the screen logging capabilities to execute some commands, execute some Omegamon screen spaces, and then log those for later analysis. Going to the next slide, TSF requirements. In this scenario, basically what we see is this is the options you have to have set. So you need to have TSF enabled. If you want to do the logging of the screens, you want to have the log turned on. And as well, you need to have an active Omegamon Classic session running. So in other words, Omegamon needs to be running. You need to have a logged on Omegamon session. That Omegamon session needs to be running in what's called auto update mode. Auto update, basically what that means is it'll update on a periodic basis. So it'd be just like a little virtual user hit enter. It'll refresh the screen every so often. Going to the next slide, a note about using auto update. If you use auto update, my recommendation is to not use the default interval, which we see specified on this panel here of 5 seconds. Set it something that's a little more reasonable, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, something like that. a 5-second interval for auto update will basically, in many cases, just be more of a resource waste than anything. You're better off setting it at a higher interval. Going to the next slide. Classic exceptions may be used to interface with SA for ZOS automation. What we see in this particular example is one of the classic exceptions. In this case, the exception is the EDM pool usage percentage. So in this scenario, you could set a threshold. This is the default threshold we have here. Basically, we're saying if EDM pool usage is above 72%, that's the threshold value, then we'll generate a classic exception. Normally, that classic exception would pop up on one of the classic screens in the interface, but you can also then, in turn, pass this exception on up to SA Automation and then have System Automation go ahead and handle that exception as well and actually have SA Automation drive automation traps and things like that. The next slide talks about Omegamon and SA interoperation. This is a facility that was added a few months back for SA. Basically, what it allows for is it gives SA the ability to, in essence, log on to Omegamon, maintain a session, and gather these classic exceptions, and then if any of the classic exceptions are detected within Omegamon, to go ahead and send those classic exceptions into SA Automation, then drive other recs, execs, and actions and things like that. So what it does, in essence, is it makes the SA Automation more powerful in that it gives SA the ability to do more of a deep dive analytic inside what's happening, the DB2 subsystem in our example here, and then gather information specific to what's happening regarding threads, buffer pools, pool usage, whatever, and then if it's desired, drive automated actions off of that. So it works well using this mechanism. So what we've covered up to this point is classic commands, classic interface capabilities, customization, and things like that. The next portion of the presentation, I want to focus on the other interface I use quite often, which is what we call the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So now I'm on a slide that says Tivoli Enterprise Portal Interface Examples. And with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, some of the things I typically like to do, well, I like to focus on things like, as I said before, the portal works well for high-level overview, for analytic problem isolation. So I like to have things like monitoring views and things like that that are customized, flexible, so that it's more targeted towards the audience of the users. It meets the specific technical requirements of the users. The flexibility of the portal is what makes it, I think, truly outstanding, is that you really have control over what information appears on what displays. This, in turn, then plays into the next aspect of where the portal is strong, which is the ability to correlate. The ability to correlate in terms of see what's happening within DB2, within different aspects of DB2, or across DB2, or as well between DB2 and KIX, and DB2 and IMS, or Z, or whatever. So the ability to form and integrate a high-level view and then to correlate activity across many components is where the portal is strong. The whole notion of problem identification, notification, isolation, the ability to generate a much more flexible, customized alert is a strength of the portal. And then also, the integration comes in many forms. Not only the ability to have an integrated single pane of glass view, but the ability as well to link from one piece of the tool to another, to go from a DB2 view to a KIX view to a ZOS view and back and forth. And this flexible, powerful linking capability is key to the tool. So going to the next slide, TEP workspace customization. In this example, what happens is Omegamon XE for DB2 PMPE provides us with the ability to build some very customized real-time displays, or what we call now workspaces. So in Classic, we called it screen spaces. In the portal, we call it workspaces. Same premise, just a little different presentation, if you will. So you can take any of the product-provided workspaces and use those as a starting point and then make adjustments. You can also just work with the tool as provided. As I said, I like to make some tweaks and adjustments because then it becomes a little more targeted towards the specific user. The user may make workspaces as needed to target certain monitoring needs. If you make a custom workspace, that workspace is stored inside the Tivoli portal. So there's a portal server component that comes with that portion of the monitoring infrastructure. And inside that portal server is where these various customized screens and things would be retained. So going to the next slide, thread view customization. This is typically one you might do. So with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, you get a set of out-of-the-box thread display views. This would show things like the threads being executed, your various DB2 counters, your in-DB2, your CPU, your wait times, etc. And so you have a large variety of counters. And there's a lot of information that you may need to parse through because there's a lot of data options that you could have on that screen. What I typically like to do is, instead of trying to show literally, you know, zillions of fields of information, what I typically like to do is just tunnel it down to what are the key items. Put those on a single view, and then that gives me something that's very quick, easy to isolate, see, and understand. And that way, then, if I need more detail, I can always drill down to more detail. So the premise is then we're going to go from having lots of information, we're just going to tweak it down to just the essential stuff, and we're going to focus it in this example on a more specific type of application. So going to the next slide, add filters to view the control content. So what you would do is from the portal, you would do a right-click, select properties, and inside that properties pop-up that comes up in the portal, you can do all sorts of things. You can click on the headers and the columns where it says connection type, plan name, package name. You can click in those checkbox areas, and that'll control whether or not those columns show up. So just pick the columns that are the most essential. Inside the middle of that pop-up, you can also specify things like filtering by plan name. You can do and/or logic, substringing, etc. So in this example, I'm building a view that's going to just look for JDBC and disserve threads. I want to have a custom panel that's just targeting certain distributed threads that I care about quite a bit, and then tune out the batch jobs and the other stuff that I'm not as worried about. Going to the next slide, this is where we're also going to highlight certain things, such as, for example, if the DB2 CPU time goes above a certain level, I don't necessarily want to drive an automated action or a page off of that, but I want it to be highlighted on a screen so that it's easy for me to see and identify that there is an issue. And then it becomes an informational kind of a thing for me. I don't necessarily need to be paged about it, but I want to be able to see it on my work view. And then going to the next slide, now what we have is our filtered, highlighted view. So in this case, what I've done is I've taken the myriad of various columns of information that come out of the box with the default thread view display, and now this has been customized down. So we're really just looking at a specific plan. We're looking at CPU, NDB2 time, elapsed, a get page count, and thread status. So really just the essential items that we need from there. Really all we're trying to do in this case is target just some of the key metrics, get an overview for a specific type of application thread in this case here, and then if we see a problem, we can drill down. You notice also the red fields that are highlighted. So we see get page count is highlighted, DB2 CPU usage is highlighted. So you have the ability to, if there's a problem, make that go red or yellow or whatever. The next aspect of the customization capabilities, power usage of the portal, relates to the whole notion of correlation, as I call it. Correlation is a key benefit of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal in that it gives you the ability to see what's happening across a whole application flow, to correlate things across all the DB2s, to correlate between kicks and DB2, DB2 and IMS, DB2 and the operating system. It provides you the ability to do things like have an integrated graphic dashboard view, but then also to do intelligent linking across product navigation. So the links then give you the ability to go from point A to point B quite quickly and easily without having to log off of one tool and log on to another tool. You're working from a consistent tool set so that you really just need to be in one place and then drill down as appropriate. And then finally, the intelligent alerting capability gives you the ability to alert from a variety of sources. The idea then is by taking the basic alerts that come out of the box with the Omegamon, you can then in turn correlate those, add your own additional alert metrics and items, and then in turn make alerts that are much more sophisticated, detailed, and more real world, if you will. So going to the next slide, it says links may be built from either panel detail or graphics. And a lot of the panels and things that you see with the Omegamon XE, you see these little blue icons that represent what we call the link symbol. So looking in the example here, We have some tabular data that I show in the middle of the panel with some date and time stamps and things like that. And you see this blue icon, which represents the link symbol. That implies that there's a link or some place where you can click and will take you to another panel. That panel could be a drill down, could be some type of a lateral navigator, whatever. A lot of times what people don't realize, though, is you can also have these links as well from a graphic view. So the idea then is that you can have an icon in a graphic dashboard view and then link and drill down from there. And I'll show you an example of how you would use that in a couple of slides. So going to our next panel, here's a simple example, a link from a panel detail. In this scenario here, actually what we're looking at is a Megamon XE for CICS. We're looking at the task detail. And so what I've done here is I've done a right click on the link icon, and what we have now is the various links we can go to. So we can go from this task overview and look at unit of work detail, transactional detail, storage usage detail for the task. But then also, you see, I've selected to DB2, which when I select that, this CICS task, then what we'll do is we'll go from the task view and kicks into the thread detail for this particular task from Megamon XE for DB2. So we're literally going cross-product. Again, the nice thing is the ability to go from one tool to the other, but you do it automatically. You don't have to log off of one thing and log on to another. The data is truly integrated within a common user interface. So this particular navigation flow is available out of the box. This is not something you would have to create. You get this when you have the tool set. The next slide shows an example of a customized graphic view that I built. And this is where I was talking about before. Not only can you build the links from the tabular data, such as what we showed on the prior slide, you can also build the links from the graphic overview. So in this example, we have icons that represent the status of all our various monitored resources, KIX and ZOS and DB2 and the network and app servers. And if you look closely at the green and red icons, you'll see little blue link symbols on those. What that represents then is I've actually, to the graphic, attached link drill down details that I can actually then go in turn and drill in and get more detail from there as well. So linking is a powerful capability that comes with the portal. And remember, linking is more than just being able to link from one table of data to another, but also integrates directly within the graphic viewing capabilities and is a very flexible. And I'll talk a little bit more about links and what's coming in the next release in a couple of slides. Now, going to the next slide that talks about how situations allow for powerful and flexible alerts. In Tivoli Enterprise Portal, an alert is based on a construct we call a situation. Situations are more flexible and powerful than the basic classic exceptions that come with classic 3270 of Megamon because it's more flexible in that literally any column of information that's gathered by the Megamon XE portal interface may be incorporated into a situation alert. Situations can use things like Boolean logic and wildcarding capabilities. And then as well then, situations may easily be correlated with other situations, which I'll demonstrate in a little bit. And then finally, once a situation is set up, you can then use that situation to drive automated actions. And what's nice is all of this capability is contained within the Tivoli portal. So going to our next slide, here's an example of using Boolean logic for alert flexibility. So in this case, I have various combinations of DB2 elapsed times and package names and auth IDs. And depending upon what the combination is, if it's a certain elapsed time and it's a certain package name, it's an alert. Or looking at the last line there, line 3, if it's a certain elapsed time, package name, and also auth ID, that constitutes an alert. So this Boolean logic capability is easily definable within the situation editor, which is what we're looking at here. And so using this mechanism, we can use the GUI to define an alert. Now, one aspect of things I think is easily overlooked, and here's the power user aspect of it with the portal, is not only can you correlate, like we're doing in this example using Boolean logic, the individual metrics, but if you go to the next slide, this is a situation correlation example, you can also do that as well to correlate situations themselves. So in this example, I've gone into the situation editor, and then instead of attribute comparison, which is how the editor usually comes up, attributes are the columns of information. What we've selected here is situation comparison, And then what we see is underneath is a listing of all the various situations. So what I'm going to do in this example is I'm going to check to see if a couple of situations are true. And if they're both true, then we'll have an alert. So situation comparison, I select a situation. And then what we'll end up with ultimately then is what we see on the next slide that says correlated alert example. So in this particular case, I selected the EW demo threat alert. That's a situation, so we're checking to see if that's true. And then to the right of that, we see DB2 lock waiter time critical. We're checking to see if that is true as well. So the EW threat alert, that's a situation that I created to look for specific thread scenario problems. And then the DB2 lock waiter time critical is one of the product provided situations that come out of the box with the tool. So literally what I'm doing is I'm correlating these two situations, and they both must be true for this bigger correlated situation to be true. Now as well, you can click add conditions to add additional logic, or you can save and start and distribute this situation as it is. So what you have then is the ability to correlate not only just the detailed bits of information, but as well the ability to correlate the situations themselves and use this in a sort of a building block type of fashion. Start with basic alerts and then correlate them into build bigger and better alerts, etc. This truly makes the Tivoli portal a very powerful paradigm for alerting and automation and things like that. So going to the next slide, let's talk about what's coming briefly here. There will be coming very shortly, within the next 2 or 3 months, a Megamon V410 set of releases. And this is going to be across the board for, you know, all the Omegamon. So we're not talking just the Megamon DB2, but also Megamon Kix and Z, etc. Over the next few months, there's going to be a new release of the Omegamons across the board. The objectives overall of this new 410 set of releases is going to be, of course, overall customer satisfaction, exploitation of new operating systems, various enhancements across the board, general simplification of the portfolio. And then the key I want to emphasize here is the bullet point that says integration. Here we're talking about things like dynamic workspace linking, launching of other Tivoli management capabilities within the Tivoli portal, further exploitation of the Tivoli data warehouse mechanism by the ZOS monitoring capabilities. The dynamic workspace linking is an interesting facility we want to discuss because basically this kind of expands upon the paradigm of what I talked about earlier. As I said, one of the true strengths of the portal is the ability to link information and to navigate from point A to point B. So the idea then is that I can start out from DB2 or from Kix and go back and forth across the tool. So going to the next slide that talks about dynamic workspace linking functionality, basically what dynamic workspace linking functionality provides is the ability to do more dynamic drill down, make it easier to create these drill down links in context. So if I'm going from point A to point B, I get a drill down where I can go easily from Kix to DB2 or DB2 to IMS or IMS to Kix or wherever it makes sense to go. Tie the tools together even more dynamically and powerfully, make that linking capability even more powerful, easier to drill down, to go from a high level to a detail level, etc. So dynamic workspace linking is going to be one of the key deliverables that comes with the V410 version. And so, in summary, understand and exploit the strengths of Omegamon. It's always good to know what the true capabilities are, and you have your typical standard out-of-the-box capabilities, but as well, contained within the tool, there's a lot of powerful capabilities that some of which you may not even realize are there. I always suggest using the tool, you know, where it works best. So the portal, I feel, typically works best from a high-level correlation, analytic, problem isolation, alert generation standpoint. 3270 Classic is always going to be the excellent deep dive analytic capability. That's where you go to get down into the details and the internals of the subsystem and of threads and things like that. What makes Classic nice is there are a lot of nice little nuggets of capability. The command capabilities, screen space customization capabilities, logging and timer facilities that are built into the tool as well. And so I just wanted to expose you to some of those things. I just want to say then in summary, thank you. And if you have any questions, please feel free. I will be happy to answer your questions, and I thank you very much for your time and attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. After the survey, we will open the lines for questions and answers. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question today, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for a few moments while we assemble everyone's responses. Question number 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. Question number 3. Which real-time performance monitor do you currently use for DB2? If it is Omegmon for DB2, press star 1. If it is a third-party tool, press star 2. If no real-time performance monitor is used, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause. And question number 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the productions discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll pause one final moment. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, simply press the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad at any time. And now at this time, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Ed while we do wait for your questions.
Thank you very much. I always enjoy presenting a topic like this. I trust you got some nice tips and ideas out of this particular conference. Some of the things I showed are tips and techniques that I commonly show when I teach classes and things like that, delving into things like classic customization and some of the nice little nuggets and techniques that, you know, a lot of times people don't even realize are there buried within the tool, are there easily accessible. And there's some nice, easy ways that you can dive in and take advantage of some nice, handy capabilities to do things like, for example, the classic screen snapshotting, timer screen facilities, and things like that. These are techniques I learned, you know, quite a few years ago and have come in quite handy for me quite often in the past. Do we have any questions?
We do indeed, sir. We'll go first to Sarah Adams.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, all these little extra things are really neat, but we still are trying to get the basics to run at a consistent level. So on your page 8... you do not show option Z at the bottom to switch to another DB2 subsystem.
Right.
Is there a reason for that?
I must have just inadvertently cut it off on the screenshot.
Okay, we're having a problem with that function, so that's what I was, why I noticed that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I must have, you know, what I do is I cut and paste the screenshots and things like that when I put it in here, and I must have inadvertently omitted that from the screen when I snagged it, when I did the copy and paste, so that's a probably a manual typo error on my part. I apologize.
Can I ask a couple other questions, or you want to go to somebody else?
Oh, please, feel free.
On the thread activity display?
Yes.
The SQL that's shown there is incorrect. And we have, there's an APAR open for that. Do we have any idea when the solution for that might be?
What screen are we looking at here?
when you go into thread detail, option T from your classic interface.
Is it in my presentation? You're just talking in general.
Just talking.
Okay, got it. Okay, I was looking for a screenshot in there. So you're saying you're seeing something that's incorrect on the.
The thread detail, the SQL that's shown there is not correct.
Okay.
So, what for an overall question? What's kind of scary for us is that PE is slated to go away. We're told, and yet PE is our workaround for a lot of these things. For instance, you can't change subsystems, but I can in the PE GUI interface, and I can't see the right SQL here. But if I go into PE, I can. So I guess I'd like to know if these things are going to be fixed before PE goes away.
Well, just in general, you know, any system software is always going to have, you know, bugs, patches, things like that. And so if you're having issues there, I apologize. Specific to your SQL display question, off the top of my head, I do not know the answer to that. But if you want to drop me an email, WLODSE@us.ibm.com, I'll be happy to check into that and get back to you.
Well, we've got a PMR open on it that they've been playing with.
Okay, good.
What's the lifespan of PE? Do we know when it's going to go away?
Well, we've made no announcement that the PE functionality, if you will, is going away. Let me put it to you this way. Omegamon and PE have merged into a single product. And so there still is a PE GUI, just like there still is an Omegamon Classic. That functionality is still there. We're not withdrawing that functionality. That PE GUI is going to be around for quite a while, as I understand it. There's been no announcement of direction of things like that thing is going away. We do not want to be in the business of eliminating function and aggravating our customers. So.
So we don't, I mean, a year, 2 years, 6 months, I don't know when you guys say quite a while. I don't know what that means to IBM.
I'm not R&D, okay, and I'm not management, so I'm not a person in authority, so I don't want to overstate the case. I don't want to mislead you, but my understanding, what I've been told, is that the PE portion, as you're aware of it, is going to be around for several years. That's what I've heard. Now, what does several mean? You know, all I can say is there's been no statement of direction that support's going to be pulled.
Okay.
All right, and that, you know, but I'm not the person in the position of authority to make these kind of decisions, but I'm not aware of any announcement that it's going to go away anytime in the near future. So I would suspect we're talking several years.
Okay. And one last question that is on your screens. You've got that .exm. For minor commands, are these major and minor commands? I've heard of them, but I don't know for sure what they all are. Mm-hmm. And so when you said that .exm sounded interesting, but when I go to a variety of screens in my system, it says there are no minor commands.
Right. Not all. Each of the Omegamon classics is a little bit different. And in the DB2, there aren't as many major and minor commands as there might be in the IMS, the MVS, and some of the others. So in DB2, the way it's architected, you'll have some major commands with minors and some major commands that don't happen to have any minors. It's just kind of, the commands are basically, you know, unique to whatever their function is. You know, what I'm suggesting here is, you know, if you're not sure, just go ahead and punch in the command and see what gets generated. It's not like you're really going to break anything. Just it's something to just sit and if you want to play with and see what little commands are buried within there, it's a good way to learn.
All righty. And the major ones are documented someplace?
Yes, there is a classic manual that will document the various major commands.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Tom Glazer.
Hi, Ed. I guess this was a sort of a follow-up question then to DB2 PE. There is the talk of PE, like the person just before me had talked about PE going away, specifically related to explain functionality. I like to use PE, the explain function of PE. I also like to use SQL PA. Is there going to be any type of explain function on the classic version of Omegamon, or maybe a way to port it over to SQL PA?
Right. I mean, work is being done to better integrate these kind of componentries. If you're familiar with the Omegamon legacy toolset, there wasn't a DB Explain component
right.
that was integrated with the Omegamon CUA. That product has been sunsetted in favor of other technologies such as SQLPA, Visual Explain, and things like that. And so the direction is to integrate from that, you know, from that perspective. Now, you know, I don't want to pre-announce things and things like that because I'm not, again, not privy to what's happening from an R&D perspective. But that is the general direction is, of course, to you know, to integrate these things more elegantly. Also, if you install the Omegamon XE for DB2 PMPE, the V310, that's the merged product, there is an Explain capability that's ISPF-based that's built inside there as well that I think sometimes gets overlooked by folks.
On the PE side, right?
Yeah, if you have the merged product.
Yes, yes, we have that.
And it's there is an Explain function that is in there. And but it's not one of these deals where you're going to hit a function key if you're looking at a Megamon Classic, for example, and kick off an Explain. It's not integrated to that level, but there is an Explain command capability that is in there.
Okay, Ed, on the version 4 that's coming up, is it still going to be set up the same way as this latest version is, where you go to option one option on the panel, you hit Classic for PE, the other option takes you to a Megamon? Is it going to be still sort of separate tools?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Yes.
We'll go next to Stephanie Epps.
Hi, Ed. This is Stephanie. On the Classic, the customized screen space, where you go down in there and you enter a major command of .thfl, if you want to turn that off, if you enter .thfl and then you want to get rid of it, how do you go about doing that?
Okay. I had a little bit of a hard time hearing you. So on one of the Classic screens,
mm-hmm.
Which slide were you looking at?
13.
Slide 13. Oh, the thread filter thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, if I stick the command on there, and then I decide, okay, this is nice, so I want to get rid of it, well, you could just literally overtype the command. So you could literally just overtype THFL, just spacebar over it, and the command will go away.
Okay.
Or another little command trick you can use, this will work in any Classic, in any Omegamon Classic, is from any point on the screen space where you want to just delete whatever from that point on, you can type dot, dot, and then space bar, and then it will just wipe out the rest of the screen.
Okay.
And, you know, or there's also like a dot D command to delete a line. There's a variety of ways you can accomplish what you're asking.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we'll hear from Don Phillips.
Hi, Ed.
Hi.
We run DB2, the original Omegamons, and then we just put in a little while ago the version 196 of the TEPS and TEMS. And if we're going to go to this version 4, is there, I guess, two things. How easy is it to migrate there, and is there a migration manual?
There's not a separate migration manual per se, but the installation is not really that dissimilar from the prior install of a Megamon DB2. So now I'm just going from the basic example. I've gone, say, I went from V300, which was the last standalone of Megamon, to V310. And then based on my experience with the V410s that I've worked with so far, it's pretty much like the prior installs of a Megamon, where you have your SMPE receives and applies. You're just pulling in some new FMIDs, if you're familiar with SMPE.
Yeah, there's no problem as far as that goes.
Right, and then from that point, it goes through the ICAT.
Okay, but I guess what I'm getting at more than anything else is, like, is it going to be the same situation with regards to our profiles and that type of thing? Are they just going to be migratable right through? We're not going to have to do any regeneration, recreation?
We're talking, when you say profiles, you mean like Classic profiles?
Yep.
Or talking
yep.
situations? Or?
No, well, both actually, come to think of it.
Right. Well, Classic profiles should translate right across.
Okay.
And then as far as situations, if you have customized situations, those should migrate, you know, right up. The only point at which you'd have to do like exports, imports, things like that would be is if you're building a whole new like TEMS hub and things like that, you might have to if you're basically starting right from scratch. But if you're just doing an upgrade in place, you shouldn't have to do much in that regard.
Okay.
I would suggest, though, if you have done a lot of like custom classic profiles and things like that, make a backup of those just as a safety copy, just in case you don't want to lose anything. But in general, you should not have to go out and regenerate them. Just copy them over and go.
Okay, yeah, as far as the backup goes, that's elementary, my dear Watson.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Okay, Ed, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We'll hear next from Jerome Ford.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
Good, good.
Just a couple questions. One, we've implemented the top 10 IBM DB2 situations,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure there's more than that, but I don't know where to gather that information. I'd like to look at what IBM suggests for performance and so on for DB2 situations.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if there's any more class like this, only a little bit more detail, a little bit longer for people who want to learn how to use the tool and so on and so forth.
Right. There's been some documents that I've put together for customers that list examples of common, useful situations and things like that that we've shared with various customers. I mean, there has been some Red Book activity with a Megamont, but I'd say that's still an area that we probably could stand to do more work in. And actually, what you bring up might be a good idea of a good topic for a future webcast would be something like just, you know, top 10, top 20, whatever, most useful Megamon DB2 type situations and things like that. So I guess what I'm saying to you is this is probably still an area where we could do more work.
Okay. And what about class for actual usage of tech, TEP?
Yes, there are classes for such things that you can get from IBM.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Steve Fafard.
Hi, this is Steve Fafard, Development Manager for Megamon DB2, and I wanted to address a couple of questions that came up early on, Ed, if that's okay with you.
Sure, please.
There was a note about PE going away, and what I wanted to clarify is that, as Ed mentioned, these products are merged. The Megamon DB2 and DB2 PE are merged into a single product. So there's no elimination of PE functionality in places where you may have seen a little bit more robust functionality in a Megamon versus PE or PE versus a Megamon. Obviously, we're taking the strengths that both products offer and releasing those in the converged product. What you may have heard, however, is that these various clients, we're trying to reduce those down to the two that that Ed focused on today, the Classic 3270 and the TEP GUI. And so eventually when all of the functionality that the other user interfaces provide can be accommodated by those two interfaces, then the PE client at some point will go away. There is no announced date for that, and there's quite a fair amount of work to get all of that functionality migrated to the target workspaces. So I hope that clarifies the going away comment.
We're talking quite a ways down the road, though, Steve, aren't we?
Yes, yeah. Longer than we'd like it to be. But, yeah, it's quite a ways down the road, correct?
Yes.
There was a note also about a question about Inexplain integration, and there actually is an APAR that's closed and released to integrate SQLPA into the Classic 3270 interface, and that's on the 3.10 platform, the converged product platform. And for those that are on version 3.10, that APAR number is PK19027.
And what exactly does that accomplish, Steve?
You actually, on the classic screen, there is a new, when you're looking at a thread and you're viewing SQL, there's a new option V, I think it is, to integrate with, to pass the SQL to SQLPA, essentially run a batch explain and then return the output to the classic 3270 screen so you can view the output from the explain job. Those were the two items I made note of.
Okay. Well, great. That's good news. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I knew that was coming, but I didn't know when it would see the light of day.
We'll move on to Sally Meir.
Good morning. I have a question about setting up the DB2PE GUI. I understand it takes two started tasks per subsystem or data sharing group. Is that correct?
No, that would be the old configuration. Basically, how the product installs now is on each respective LPAR, if you will, you'll have an Omegamon collector address space, which is the main gatherer of data. You may optionally run the CUA address space, which is a presentation layer that's 3270, but you may or may not use that, depending on what you want to do. And then there's what we call the XE agent address space, which would send information up to the portal. Within the first task that I mentioned, that's where you would have these the PE collector subtasks, if you will. So technically, all this functionality that we're talking about, the gathering of data on the member basis, all happens within that one Omegamon collector.
One so, on each LPAR.
Yes, you would have what would amount to then a standard set of Omegamon tasks on each LPAR. Bottom line, so whether you have one member, two members, 10 members on each LPAR, you're going to have the same portfolio of address spaces, if you will.
That's great.
I think that was one of the key deliverables of the merged product set, was the ability to have a kind of a consistent collection without, you know, redundancies and duplication of effort and things like that.
And what release of PE do we need to be on for that?
The current latest greatest is Omegamon XD for DB2 PE V310. That is the latest and greatest GA. As I said, there's a V41 that's coming later this year, but if you want current GA right now, you'd be on V31.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is *1 on your touchtone telephone if you do have a question or comment at this time. We'll take a question from William Skiff.
I would like to ask how one would be able to use, say, for instance, Classic in order to establish week-long watermarks. If you wanted to find out where the spikes, or not necessarily where the spikes are, but how high the spikes are during a certain week, just to try to come up with trends. I realize it's not so much a real-time event, but it's something that I suppose we could do with the historical function and somehow, you know, make it over a week period.
Right. The the simplest way to do it is to run near-term historical, and then and that will give you stats on an ongoing basis, typically cut on 15-minute interval. Now, in turn then, though, if you want to take that and now you want to look at like a week or longer intervals of time, it's probably going to be more elegant if you do something like Performance Warehouse, which would be taking stats data, putting it in tables, or use the portal and the XD snapshot historical, something like that, because that would give you a simpler way to do it. Near-term historical, kind of by its nature, is more intended to give you like the last 10 hours or last day or two of data. It's not meant to be something so much where you're looking at week-to-week kind of levels of intervals of data, but it is a simple mechanism whereby you could gather up and peruse stats information on an ongoing basis. So if I'm looking for broader periods of time, I would probably be more inclined to look at one of the other alternatives than to say Classic.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
We'll take a question from Edgar Lowe.
Hi. Good morning, Ed. I have a question regarding about, you know, Omegamon 4.1. Currently, we are still in the process of installing version 3.1. But if we are planning to install Omegamon XT for DB2 Performance Monitor 4.1, mm-hmm. can it be integrated together?
Well, yeah, what will happen is, so you're in the process of installing V31, Omegamon PM V31 right now, correct?
Yeah, but I have other Omegamon products as well, like Omegamon for mainframe network,
mm-hmm.
Omegamon for CICS, and Omegamon for COS.
Right.
Get it in the same CSI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the future, like you said, if 4.1 is coming along, which we find that if there's some good functions, we can make use of it. Can we simply just install together in the same CSI as the other 3.1 level?
Yes. Yeah, you should be able to do that. I haven't tested that whole specific mix of products you have, but I've done upgrades in place with some of the other Megamonts going to the 4.10 level in an existing CSI, and it's pretty straightforward. Basically, all that happens is you do your standard SMPE receive and apply work, and then when you get into the ICAD installer, what you'll see is you should see a new entry for your Megamon 4.1 where you used to see an entry for a Megamon 3.1. What you should do then is just step back through all the ICAD config panels, because odds are there will be some new configuration panels and or options, and then just rewalk through the config process and submit the job. So it's basically the same ICAD process as before. You should be able to upgrade in place is the bottom line. You should not have to go and do a brand new CSI, brand new libraries and all that. It should be able to do it in place.
Okay. So my other question is that, say, if 4.1 come along next few months, to the best of your knowledge, how long you think the 3.1 will be kept, will be still supported by IBM?
So once 4.1 comes along, how long will 3.1
come? Yeah, because we just start to, we are still in the process of installing 3.1.
Right.
And we haven't put into production yet. And I just don't want to say IBM will withdraw the support of 3.1 next year or a year after. Because, you know, like then we have to go for all this, effort to install the product, four products in the same time.
Right.
So it is not easy because right now we are running the old version of OmegaBond, XE from Kendo, which were 2 years ago.
Right.
We haven't converted yet. We have problem because we cannot run two together. We have to, to migrate from one system to another, in a careful manner. So
right.
I just wonder, usually, how long IBM will still support 3.1 when 4.1 is to be released?
Yeah. I'm not management.
Yeah.
I'm not R&D. So, but in general, you'll typically find that releases will usually probably hang around a couple of years. I would find if you just go back and look through how IBM typically does these things.
Okay.
But I'm not making an official announcement here. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, just looking at past history, for example.
Okay.
V310 has been GA for almost a year, not quite, and we still have a fair number of customers that are running V300, and we've made no announcement, to my knowledge, of we're withdrawing that from support or anything yet. Now technically, what you might see is things like the older versions might be withdrawn from marketing. That could be a different, thing. That's different than being withdrawn from support.
Okay.
I think you should have, if you're doing 3.10 installs now, you should have adequate time to do whatever migrations. I would not fret at this point.
Okay.
I mean, if you were, running, older versions of things, then you might have other considerations. But no, you're still current, because obviously 4.1 has not even GA'd yet, so you've got plenty of time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Our last question will come from Sancha Paco Marti.
Hi, this is Rao Pancho Marti. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. Is there any way to externalize statistics into any of the DB2 tables or some file format or something like that, so that we can create historical reports out of that?
To externalize the data in the tables, is that the question?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's a performance warehouse function that comes with a Megamon.
Okay.
And basically, what that entails then is the easiest way to do is just take SMF data, and that would be your accounting, your stats, and other type of information.
Uh-huh.
And provide mechanisms whereby we provide the DDL to build the tables, we provide the mechanisms to feed and load the tables, summarize the tables of data, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a standard function of a Megamon. Now we have the merged product set. That's actually a historical capability that came with DB2 PMPE, and now it's part of the Omegamon PMPE solution. So if you see references in the documentation to performance database and performance warehouse and things like that, that's what that is in reference to.
Oh, okay. Does that mean currently we have version 3.1, I think. Does Performance Warehouse part of that version?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're running the V300 or a prior version of Omegamon, there was a DB2 history table mechanism that came with the legacy Omegamon, if you will, but that has been sunsetted in favor of the DB2 PMPE flavor thereof, which is quite comparable. It's the same premise, taking your history information and punching into the tables for analysis and perusal.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.